Welcome to the Speak It Podcast. This is the eighth episode here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm John Wilson with Fire and Life Safety America, otherwise known as FLSA. Man, we got a great show for you today. We are interviewing Jason Wheelock of the Wheelock Group out of Atlanta, Georgia. Brokers there in Atlanta, Georgia. Had an awesome conversation about the Atlanta Braves. We had the Major League Baseball opening day yesterday. Looks like they had a walk-off win that I didn't know about. We're going to talk about the new MLS soccer team, Atlanta United. It's the craze going on down there. He's going to talk about it. He has seats down there at the stadium, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Really looking forward to that. And also where to eat and hang out. A lot of people, Nashville, Chattanooga, they go visit Atlanta. They go down there, look at some of the cliche type of stuff, the Coke building, you know, go down to the aquarium, some great places to go. He helps paint the picture on where else to go, where to try. And you're going to want to listen into this interview. Personal friend of mine, went to Ole Miss with him, been very successful, and you guys should give him a call. You can kind of learn about how to get a hold of him if you're looking for a location in Atlanta, whether you're moving to Atlanta, condo, home, downtown, Buckhead. Look up Jason Wheelock at the Wheelock Group. He is the president of his group. Really awesome time with him. You guys know we are brought to you by, or we are, our podcast is sponsored by David Pledge at Ram Tool, 615-767-0553. I've been introducing him to a lot of people here lately, and he's been taking care of people around Nashville for, gosh, 6-7 years with Ram Tool, doing an awesome job. You guys should listen to it. He will be at our event next week, which we're about to talk about. So come see David Pledge, Ram Tool. It will make sure that you need anything, safety products, construction products, he's going to drop it off, get it to your place of business, construction site, apartment complex, high rises, anything like that. So that's David Pledge, Ram Tool, awesome guy. Give him a call. You can trust him. Also, once again, Fire and Life Safety, we're going to have our customer appreciation and employee lunch on April 6th from 10 to 2. A lot of you guys know I'm going to share this podcast with you, but bring some people. The biggest thing about that is not just the prizes and the raffles we'll have. It's about who we're bringing in as far as food. Peg Leg Porker. I've been talking about Peg Leg Porker. Best barbecue in Nashville. I actually ate there today. Shout out to Jamie, who's helping us cater this event. Met with her. Great to work with. And I'm sure the event will go well because this food speaks for itself. The pulled pork, the ribs, macaroni and cheese, everything's going to be there. Awesome. Another thing which I'm really excited about, I'm going to be interviewing Carrie Bringle, the pit master and the owner of Peg Leg Porker. We talked today, and we're going to go to his new renovated space upstairs and have an awesome interview and talk about him, his family, the restaurant. He's even got a podcast, which is pretty awesome. So the food is great. Look, and I was doing some research on Carrie and Peg Leg Porker. Multiple publications have said this is a top 10 barbecue restaurant in the United States. You know, so it's not just top 10 or top restaurant for barbecue in Nashville. Guys, the top restaurants in the country as far as barbecue. So get down to Peg Leg Porker. I was there today before it opened, and there was a line. You're going to want to enjoy this place. Look, we're feeding a lot of people next week, and we're going to have banana pudding, macaroni and cheese, baked beans, everything. I'm really looking forward to that event. So next week, we're going to have an awesome interview with him. We're also going to have Josh Jenkins back. We're going to be talking a little bit of law. We're going to also be talking about the Nashville Predators, NHL, playoffs coming up. We're going to talk the NFL draft, Tennessee Titans. Who are they looking for? Who have they signed recently? How can they make an impact? He's got season tickets, and he knows some of the ins and outs of some of this, and we'll talk a little sports, updated sports next week. That will probably be next Tuesday, it looks like. Next week is a crazy week with some things coming out with our company and the event with our lunch coming up and customers. And we just want to also thank our customers for being with us. It's been, you know, right around 3 years. We've been doing great things in Nashville, really taking care of customers, fixing our mistakes, and just really creating a great brand here. We look to continue to do that with the people that are supporting us and places that we're serving, whether it be community colleges, high rises, industrial plants. We just appreciate you, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys at the lunch next week in April from 10 to 2. If you're around, come see us right here at Donelson Pike. That's 1410 Donelson Pike, Suite B10, Fire Line Safety Lunch. We're going to jump into our interview with Jason Wheelock. Once again, I knew him from Ole Miss, grew up with him a little bit. He was at my wedding. Here's some of our stories a little bit. You're going to enjoy it. He's going to paint a picture of Atlanta, what's going on there. Going to talk some awesome sports, updated sports. We're going to make sure that you know some areas to visit that you wouldn't normally know about living in the Chattanooga and Nashville market. And the soccer craze down there is nuts. They're selling out the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're going to talk about that. Hope you guys enjoy that. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Welcome to the 8th episode of the Speak It podcast. We've got my good friend Jason Wheelock on of the Wheelock Group there in Atlanta, Georgia. Jason, how you doing, bud?
What up, John? How's it going, buddy?
It's going. It's
been a while.
It has been a while. It has been a while. It's been too long. I hadn't seen your face live in a while, other than on videos on LinkedIn where you're marketing your company. So a good
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah, man, we're all over the place down here. Hotty toddy.
That's right. So why don't we tell the listeners real quick about you, your company, what you do, president of the Wheelock Group. Why don't you kind of tee it up with that, and then we're going to get into some fun topics. We're going to talk about the Braves, the new soccer craze, and then we'll hit a little bit of how we met. So let's tell the listeners about yourself and the Wheelock Group and what you do there in Atlanta real quick.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I am the president, lead agent down here at the Wheelock Group, and I started off way back when we were 22, 23, just as an individual realtor, and then, you know, things just kind of took off. I needed help, hired some administrative help. We eventually needed more sales help, so now we're a team of 5, consisting of 3 agents, 2 administrative people, and, man, we're just killing it down here. This market is awesome. We do a lot of single family, condo, townhome, as well as a lot of new construction.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. So some of the homes and condos and things you're selling, how far outside of, say, downtown are you getting people into homes and things like that? What other cities, or it's just you got right down downtown in Buckhead? How far out do you go, the Wheelock Group?
Yeah. So, you know, if you know anything about Atlanta, I'm sure many of your listeners do up there in Nashville, we're just kind of the sprawl, right?
Yep.
So you get these outlying suburbs, and ultimately your clients just end up, you know, they might sell, move out to the burbs. So we do a little work here and there, but for the most part, we brand ourselves as an in-town resale, probably median to upper median price point brokerage. And we also do, we've got like mini neighborhoods, enclaves, if you will. So we have a little bit of a radius outside the city. I'd say 80% of what we do is ITP. Inside the perimeter, baby.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's, I think we talk about this. I want to make sure that you're a guest coming on, because we don't just talk Nashville stuff. Today we're talking Atlanta,
right.
Sports. Yeah. We're talking the climate down there, which I'm extremely excited about. So, and you'll be able to help us tap into that, because a lot of us go down to Atlanta to hotels, the aquarium, Coke, some of the cliche stuff, but we like to come down there. So if there's a local restaurant in a sub-suburb or the new Atlanta Stadium, you can help us with that. So I'm really excited about that. But here's what we need to do.
Yeah, man.
Why don't we tell, and we did not talk about this before, so let's keep it clean and funny, but do you remember how we met? Where did we meet, Jason?
Man, I'll tell you what. I remember you like it was my first day at Ole Miss, because we walked into that dorm, Kincannon. You remember that place?
Kincannon, that's right.
Kincannon. It was just so – it's probably the least renovated – dorm on campus, random assignment, here we go. And you were the door right across from mine. And then you popped your smiling face out, and see it within a few weeks. We were ordering Domino's at 2 a.m. and throwing the football around, you know? So we did some healthy stuff, some unhealthy stuff. It was, you know, it was a great time. We had some good times, man. Those were some of the best years of my life, although I don't go to bed quite as late as I used to. I probably wouldn't be eating many more Domino's with you this day and age.
So I mean, we're over there eating Domino's pizza. We're ordering wings at 2 and 3 a.m. Classes at 8, doing some of those fun cliche dorm stuff.
How do we do that?
Yeah, going to the Turner Center, playing a little basketball, being kids.
And, that's right.
For you guys, not you know, Jason was also at my wedding back in 2007. I think I got that right. I did. Aaron Murphy's
11 years ago.
That's right. And since he's become a big time, I haven't seen him quite as often. But we go back 2004. Wow.
That's right. Yeah, pre-iPhone.
Pre-iPhone. That's right. I'd have to think about the phone that I had. I think it was a little silver flip phone. And I don't think
I had a BlackBerry.
In 2004 you did?
Yeah, but that was the craze, remember?
Yeah, you're the big time Atlanta boy.
BlackBerry.
Big time Atlanta boy coming to Ole Miss with the BlackBerry. I didn't get a BlackBerry until I started work after school. So, well, I just put a little context on how we know each other, how far we go back. Now, opening day of Major League Baseball was yesterday, and you went to the Braves game, did you not?
Yeah, man, I did.
Heard they won.
Yeah,
was it
probably? It was a walk-off home run by Nick Markakis in the bottom of the ninth, runners on first and second.
Are you kidding?
We haven't had many things to celebrate the last few years in Atlanta, at least baseball-wise, and so it was a nice start to the year.
I did not know that. Sorry.
That?
Everybody knows I have toddlers. Long night last night. Get them down. Get some work. I did watch a little highlights. I saw Stanton from the Yankees hit two home runs on opening day. Davidson of – man, who does he play for? He hit three home runs, I think, at Coors Field, which is pretty awesome. But we want to talk about the Braves real quick, the outlook. I know they haven't been great lately, but I want you to kind of tee up the Braves, who we should be looking for, the players. I know a lot of Braves fans in Nashville, Chattanooga. I grew up a Braves fan. You know, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Blauzer. All those guys that we all know and love that, you know, some have kids in college, some are playing, some may have grandkids, you know, Otis Nix and all those guys. So who should we be looking forward to? And then we got to talk about this new park. So talk to us a little bit about your experience at the park and the players.
So there's a lot of exciting young guys, It almost feels like 1991 again because there's all these, you know, young players that haven't really – made a name, but there's sort of this one mainstay in the lineup, and that's Freddie Freeman. Most Braves fans are familiar with him, and he started the rally last night. We were down 5-0 in the sixth. He hit the 2-run bomb, get things going. And then this young little guy, 5-0, he's probably my size, Ozzy Albies, this new rookie. He comes in, hits a solo homer. He's a guy to watch. Now the real star, but you're not going to see him until April 13th because they're, I'll go into all the minutia of it, but with baseball, if they don't bring him up for a couple of weeks, they control him for a few extra years before he's a free agent.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Ronald Acuña. This guy, they say he's a superstar in the making. So I think everyone's looking for him to come up and do some big things.
All right, say that name one more time. He's in the minor leagues.
Ronald Acuña.
Okay, what position does he play?
He's an outfielder. He's going to be a right fielder, center fielder type guy, hybrid.
Power hitter?
You know, call me crazy, but I don't know. He seems to be advertised as one of these do-it-all, you know, five-tool type guys.
Yeah,
he can hit
home
runs. He can steal bases. He can play defense. You know, kind of like when Andrew Jones first came up, and then as he got older, he got a little more bulky and, you know, had some power. But I think between him and Ozzy Albies, I think, you know, we could have a really great lineup. But also, I think a lot of Braves fans are looking to see if Dansby Swanson is, forgive me for saying this, the next Jeff Francoeur, you know, that guy who had all the hype, but he couldn't, you know, stop. He couldn't stop a swing on a curveball in the dirt to save his life.
Yeah, I was about to ask about Dansby. Dansby Swanson is a former Vanderbilt star. I think he's been in the league now a year and a half to 2 years, and this will be his, I think, third year in the league, and an incredible baseball player from Vanderbilt. And I've seen, I was looking up his stats yesterday, you know, had some doubles, had some home runs, I think 9 home runs last year. And, you know, you got to work on that average. You know, you have all these guys have so much hype and potential. Can they play into that potential? Because you get up there and 30, 40, 50,000 people are watching you with all that pressure. You're paid a lot of money. Can you make it happen? So he's still young. He's probably, heck, he's probably 23 years old, but I agree. Jeff Francoeur hit a long ball, can throw it a long way, struck out a lot, and that was when I used to watch the Braves.
Yeah.
Bit. So awesome. Thanks for the rundown of the players. Tell us about this new park. You had to tell me last or the other day that the park is a year old. Tell us about the park, and let's jump into some of the areas. Why it's so cool outside of, you know, the restaurants, the shopping. What's it like? What's the experience like for people coming out of Middle Tennessee and don't know the area when they come to the park?
Yeah. So to create some context, everybody knows Turner Field, and it was probably the most nostalgic ballpark I can think of that only lasted 20 years.
Yeah,
not gonna lie, I was a little bit apprehensive when I heard they were gonna leave downtown, right? Anyway, long story short, the Olympic Park was what was converted to Turner Field. It was this sort of massive, expansive baseball park. However, SunTrust, it has this sort of old school, you know, more intimate baseball feel. It's about 10,000 less seats.
Huh.
You're right up on top of the action, right? And then you've got really, you know, from a location standpoint, tons of places to go out and have, you know, a quick beer, have some lunch or dinner before or after the game. It's just, you want to come to that area. You want to stay. Turner Field, I mean, shoot, when the game was over, you just went to your car and headed out.
Yeah. I remember going to Turner Field as a 12, 13-year-old, the year after the Olympics, and how long of a walk across the interstate it was to get to Turner Field, and it was just like a concrete monster. There was nothing around, so... how long does it take you to get to the park?
It takes me about 20 minutes. And I think the big criticism that the Braves got was, oh, man, at the corner of I-75 and I-285, it's going to be a traffic nightmare. And the thing is the Braves just kind of had the last laugh because getting in and out of there is so easy, so little traffic. It's been a huge win for the Braves as an organization. And now they've got, I think, about a 50% increase in ticket sales. And they own the whole battery. So they got the money to spend. Will they do it? I don't know. That's the question, right?
Yeah. So what's the experience before the ball game? You know, you can't get into the ball game until probably 2 hours, hour and a half before, or something like that. But what's the experience like with the is there a certain restaurant for people to without kids? Let's talk about the restaurant without kids. Is there a cool place, cool bar to go to before you get into the stadium? A little networking location?
So if I was going to the game before and I wanted somewhere, you know, kind of a ballpark pub kind of feel, I'd go to Sport and Social. Huge
Sport and Social.
Multi-story place. Yeah, it's got huge TVs. It's got outside patios. It's the bomb, man. And then they've got, let's see, if you want something a little fancier, go to CL. It's awesome steak, man. Really good spot. And there's about 15 places throughout.
Really? All within walking distance of the stadium?
Yeah.
15?
Oh, yeah, tons of restaurants. I mean, pizza, Mexican food. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. It's really changed the landscape.
And so the Braves own that whole complex outside.
Yeah, they control everything. The rent, all that revenue goes straight to the Braves. It's really genius. It's
that
the first pro franchise to ever do that.
That is so smart.
Sports.
That is neat. You control the experience in and around, after and before. And instead of having people to leave site to go do this, or they're like, there's a great restaurant right around Fenway Park that you go wait to eat there before you can go in, which is, you know, exclusive of the park itself. So that's really awesome. Hotels around there, right close to your, near the stadium.
Yeah. And I'll add one more thing. There's this huge concourse that kind of divides, or is it the footsteps of all of the entertainment where everyone kind of gathers, you know, they get the little marching band out there, the drum corps, if you will, before the game. everyone's getting pepped up, and they built this new high-rise Omni hotel that overlooks the stadium with a swimming pool outside of everything. So you could actually go get a room, and dude, you could like hang out right there and watch baseball in the middle of July from the Omni hotel pool. It's pretty unbelievable.
Oh my
gosh. I may rent a room even though I'm from the area.
Yeah, yeah. July, which is the worst time to watch a baseball game, especially sitting outside and not being in a suite, I guess we'll rep the Omni pool. We have an Omni here in Nashville, but I don't think the views quite overlook the First Tennessee ballpark, which is the AAA team here in town. Actually, it doesn't. It's actually connected to the Country Music Hall of Fame. And so I know Mr. Jeff there runs security at the Omni. Great guy. But, man, I didn't know that. That's awesome. You're kind of painting a picture for the listeners and myself because I haven't been down there. You know, Avery, you met Avery. Last time I think you saw Avery, could have been at the Texas A&M game when he was 6 months old.
Yeah.
2003.
Remember that picture of me holding him?
Yeah. Remember he had a little bow tie, no shirt on? He's so cute with that puffy
hair.
He was
a young rebel back then.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you.
He and the baby both wear Ole Miss hats all the time. They love it. So yeah, it's just a neat experience. Got a T-ball team coming up, so I'm going to have to bring Avery down there. That's kind of what I'm leading into that. But let's talk about this crazy, crazy soccer craze that you're talking to me about. I've seen it on Facebook where the soccer team, I'm going to let you take this over. But I've seen,
well, you're talking about the Atlanta United, and I know Nashville's got a team coming, but I got to say, I don't know if any in Major League Soccer can match the explosiveness that soccer's had in Atlanta. I went to the game, first game, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 72,000 fans, louder than any Falcons game I've ever been to, and they closed the upper deck most games, so the week after it was 45,000, but they could have sold the whole dang stadium out. And I have never seen a sport in Atlanta, which is known honestly as a very fair weather city.
Absolutely.
And it's unbelievable. They've got these South American guys that they're signing that are just unbelievably talented. And I mean, it's a lot of people that already love football and baseball, the traditional sports. And it's just added this other element of professional sports in Atlanta, and it's a worldwide phenomenon. I just can't believe it. I never would have guessed. And
yeah, that
stadium is insane as well.
Yeah, that is crazy. And let me preface for the listeners too, we'll do this in the opening, but Jason is on an awesome hike right there at Stone Mountain, so you may hear a little wind, a little disconnect or whatever, but it's really cool. Got an interview of him right there in Atlanta scene out there in one of his main attractions, Stone Mountain. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. So, you know, once again, thanks for being here and, you know, making sure that we're having a great talk, even though you're outside and having a good time there on Good Friday. So, so you're talking the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right where the Atlanta Falcons play, right? Jason?
Yeah, sorry, lost you for a second. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So it replaced the Falcons Stadium, and it was the Georgia Dome. Y'all, I'm sure, remember that.
Yep.
It now hosts everything that you remember, and, you know, SEC Championship, Final Fours, Super Bowls, but it was really built for soccer and football. It's incredible.
Right.
And you've got to see it. It's a world-class venue. Between that and SunTrust Park, I don't know if there's a city that has better venues right now.
Well, tell me about this. I mean, how long has that team been there, the Atlanta United?
Last season was their start. And they actually, you know, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they had some challenges constructing it. And so what happened was they ended up running out Georgia football stadium, Bobby Dodd Stadium. So it kind of started off as this college atmosphere for 3 months. This sort of, you know, intimate college football environment with soccer. And then they moved to the new stadium, let's say around June, July, mm-hmm. something along those lines. So it's kind of an interesting first start. And a year in, they might be the most popular franchise in Atlanta right now, which is kind of ridiculous to say with the history of the Braves here.
Yeah. And you have tickets, right? You have season tickets to the games, right?
Yeah. we got some nice seats out in the club. I'm hoping you're going to come down.
I will come down. Spend a couple days here. I will come down.
I'm going to come up and see you too.
I know. Well, we've got a soccer team coming up as well, and I'm not sure where they're playing right now, but they are probably at the Titan Stadium, I guess. I'll look into that, and we'll clarify that. But they are looking into building a new stadium, and there's right here near the fairgrounds. I can only imagine it's a stink right now with where they're going to try to put it. And, you know, when you do something like that, whether funding and location, you can't make everybody happy. So that's making some news headlines right now. And like I mentioned to you, and I think I've had on this podcast, where I live in Murfreesboro, the state championship soccer tournament is half a mile from my house. I mean, it is a huge, you're probably talking close to 30 fields, and the grass looks unbelievable right now. But soccer's big in Tennessee too. You know, a lot of our kids play it, not just, every nationality, ethnic group, they all play soccer. And I can only imagine, especially in the melting pot that Atlanta is, at people that aren't into college football, NFL, and some of those groups that really appreciate soccer. And when some of those people are following their like you said, the guys that are being signed in South America are being part of these teams. So I can only imagine, and seeing some of this stuff on the World Cups and how exciting these fans get of their national teams, that's pretty cool to hear about that. And so how many games did they play? Let's put that in perspective. How many games did they play throughout the season? Because baseball, which just opened up yesterday on Thursday, March 29th, they play 162 games a year. How many does the MLS play? Do you know?
Yeah, so it's 17 home games, so that would be, 34 games. However, it's very much like football because it's spread out. And I didn't realize this when I first started following it, is they play about one game a week. The season starts in March, and then it ends somewhere in mid-October. And then the championship is the first week of December. So mm-hmm. when you think about it, 8 or 9 month a year sport.
That is
in certain contexts.
I actually
looked it up, and across Europe it's the same way. I mean, these teams play so much year round, but they're very spread out, the games are. So it's really interesting. And actually, I forgot to mention this. I guess the new Nashville team that's coming that is converting to an MLS team, but they're going to play in a lower league for, I believe, 2 years. Atlanta actually came up there about a month ago during preseason and played an exhibition. I heard 10,000 people came out and saw this, something crazy, up there in Nashville. It was a rainy Saturday.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So I think it's going to, I think it's actually going to be pretty successful in y'all city as well.
I'm sure.
This is the hotbed for football, right? Isn't that crazy that people are giving it that much attention?
I know.
With the NFL and college football.
That is funny. You're right. And look, this is a business. So if you can get people to come out to sponsorships and advertisements and give people like us an experience that we want to go back to, or our kids want to go to, or have good networking opportunities at these locales and the games and everything, that'll help it as well, because a lot of kids will go. But I think if you get the scene right, like you said, with the new not the Georgia Dome, but the Mercedes-Benz stadium there where SEC championship is held, the Atlanta Falcons play there. And I heard that place is just unbelievable. Looking at it on TV, I'm sure it doesn't do it justice. So,
You need to do? You need to come down here for a weekend and watch a game. We'll have one of those 2 a.m. Domino's pizzas like back in Kincannon.
We might not. We may not even go to sleep. How about that?
I don't know about that.
We can get 2 or 3 hours of sleep. There's no reason why we can't pretend like we're 20 and 21 again.
Yeah.
I mean, because then I met
we'll
you
guys. We'll say we will, baby. And then we'll be out by midnight, right?
Hey, absolutely. You know, especially, I have a toddler, so my clock I fall apart at a certain time of night. So, but is there anything else and then we'll probably end up with Ole Miss sports because we have some Ole Miss listeners as well. But is there anything else in Atlanta that you'd like to mention for the listeners that's just, I got a visit thing or people wouldn't know about, some attraction that helped people get there, or a local place that you know of owner that we should visit or something like that?
So you mentioned earlier about how people stereotypically would like to come to Atlanta. They want to do the aquarium, World of Coke, all those downtown things. I would skip every bit of that. And right now, if you're coming to Atlanta, you need to go visit the Beltline, which is essentially one of the greatest efforts in the U.S. to absorb unused space. And there was abandoned train tracks, and slowly they're absorbing them and circling the city, creating trails you can bike, run, walk, whatever. And with that has come all of these restaurants, shops, things to do, and the epicenter of it is Ponce City Market, which is originally was the old Sears Roebuck building down here. And I believe I read it was the largest brick building south of Mason-Dixon lines.
Wow.
20 million square feet or something crazy like that. They totally redeveloped it, and it's now this big mixed-use live-work environment that's right up against the Beltline. So you can go hang out, see some of these old historic buildings that have been restored, and hang out on the Beltline, walk that. There's a lot of cool restaurants, bars right against it, sit on a patio. And I would just do that if you had one weekend to come down here.
And
that's my plug for Atlanta.
Awesome, awesome. And so you're coming in off of 75 South. Where is it in location to that? How far off the interstate?
You're going to head straight downtown into the city and get off of North Avenue.
Okay.
You're going to take a left and you're going to run right into it.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's awesome. So yeah. So instead of some of the cliche places, let's go to the Beltline and some of the areas there. And then what we can do, you can mention one of those restaurants on and talk to one of the owners and tell them we'll rep one of them on our next show. And we'll talk some of this Atlanta Braves and everything like that coming up here soon. And what about Ole Miss? You see them lose last night to Arkansas? I hated that. Ole Miss number 4.
I didn't see the highlights, but I know this is a pivotal series. Arkansas is a pretty good team. Ole Miss, I think, is up to number 4 in all the polls. And I've seen this story before, John. We can win a lot of games. Right? So I think we got some talent. We had the number 1 recruiting class 2 years ago. Now they're sophomores. It's showing up on the field. I think we have this Friday night starter that might be a top 10 draft pick coming up in, June MLB draft. So
yeah,
we got
yeah.
the pieces, but, you know, the ball's got to kind of bounce your way here and there at some points in the season. I think that they're a persevering team, though. They have come back 10 times this year. They get the most comebacks in the nation. So I like that in a baseball team. That's the kind of grit you want to see from a team early on, if they're going to win some big ones in June. I like them. I like them more than the football team, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you're right. They were down 4-0 yesterday, and they came back and tied it until I think the 6th or 7th inning, and they went down 6-4, and they're 23-4. They've lost 3 games by 1. In this game, they lost by 2. They're a good ball club. And we had to mention a little bit of Ole Miss sports before. Now, are you going to come to any Ole Miss football games this year? How about we got Alabama? We got Auburn coming into town. Got who else? Mississippi State coming into town.
You know, I've been going to the games for years. And you remember my buddies, John Jennings and Kurt Bowling.
Oh, yeah.
From back in the day here in Atlanta. They participated with me as well. I'm just feeling a little uninspired right now. I might get out for one game. I went out for LSU, and I was actually able to get out to the Bay Area for the Berkeley game, which was a cool opportunity to see a Pac-12 team and do San Francisco Napa Valley last year. But that was actually, you know, I hate to say it, it was more about the destination than it was the team. And I think we'll have some solid players this year. I think we'll score some points. I think, you know, 7-5, 6-6 is probably something we can hope for. Best case, I'll probably get up for a game and I'll see if anybody else wants to take the rest of my tickets off my hands. They got to show me something, John.
Yeah,
you're right. Recruit some linebackers.
That's right. Their defense is going to be pretty poor. Probably great kids. We do have two, barring any injuries, we will have two draft picks in the first round this coming year. AJ Brown and Greg Little. AJ Brown's a wide receiver. Greg Little is probably number one, number two tackle, going to be coming up in the draft, barring any injuries, and they play terribly this year. So, but Jason, we will talk that another time. Buddy, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. This is Jason Wheelock of the Wheelock Group, real estate group there in Atlanta, Georgia. If you're in Atlanta, you need a new home, new condo, downtown development, give his team a call. Jason, how can we get in contact with you, bud?
Yeah, man, you can call the office at 404-419-3654. And if you want to find us online, just go to wheelockgroup.com. And we've got some really exciting properties, really interesting and cool properties coming on the market this year, too. So if you want to come to Atlanta, see some interesting stuff, you're thinking about making a move here, love to talk to you. And if you went to Ole Miss, we can chat more about football and baseball as well.
There you go. Oh, look, and you know we got a great basketball coach now, Kermit Davis, so that'll be heating up as well. So maybe they'll get a player out of Georgia.
That's right.
But Jason,
FBSU guy, local guy right there.
That's right. That's right. Thanks, Jason. I appreciate it.